Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Here we go with the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio, and today it's just me on my own. Dan had to go to his mother-in-law, so I decided I would jump on an hour early and see if we can get through this together. It's been a while since I've done the podcast by myself, so I figured I would jump on and give it a shot. But if you want to call in and help me out, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a brand new blog tomorrow morning. But, you know, swing over there, check out what's going on anyways, just to see if something gets posted. I'm always hopeful that one of the other guys will post something up there, and it'll be exciting for all of us to read. So, but, you know, get on over there. But you know the deal. When you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit the link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, I greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. I am on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. And you know, when I'm by myself, I like to spell it for you. So it's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E is where you can find me on Twitter. And oddly, we ended up with quite a bit of FanDuel stuff for you. You know, I went with Mr. Fantasy Theory yesterday and, you know, went with Blake Snell against the Royals, and he didn't do very well. So I apologize for that. I was just kind of, you know, always trying some new things to win some money. But today I actually have three lineups for you. Mr. Fantasy sent me two, and I did one just in case I didn't get a Mr. Fantasy lineup. So we are pretty much loaded for bear, I guess. I guess we'll just kind of run down how we got it here from top to bottom. This is Mr. Fantasy's first lineup, the very first one I got from him today. It has Carlos Carrasco as his pitcher. Now, Carrasco is one more of the higher price guys. It's $10,300 for him. He's pitching against the Blue Jays tonight for the Indians, of course. His catcher is Sal Perez of the Royals. He's $2,800. Yuri Gurriel of the Astros is his first baseman. That's $2,600. Jed Lowry of the A's at second base is $2,300. Then he's got another Jed. He's got Jed Jorko of the Cardinals at third base for $3,200. He's going with Tim Anderson of the White Sox as his shortstop for $2,400. And then the outfield is Jay Bruce for $4,000 of the Mets. Another Met, Michael Conforto for $3,900. And Chris Davis of the Oakland A's, $3,400. So this lineup ends up going Carrasco pitching, Perez catching, Gurriel at first, Lowry at second, Jorko at third, Anderson at short. And then the outfield is Bruce, Conforto, and Chris Davis of the Oakland A's. All right, let me find my cursor here, and we can get lineup number two. Now, there are quite a few similarities, but we'll go over the whole lineup anyways here. Drew Pomerantz of the Red Sox is his pitcher for this lineup. $8,300. Pomerantz is pitching against the Red Sox tonight. James McCann of the Tigers is a catcher. That's $2,400. Gurriel stays in at first for $2,600. Jose Altuve, Gurriel's teammate on the Astros, is his second baseman in this lineup, $3,900. Jerko stays in at third for $3,200. Elsmendez Diaz, oddly enough, Jerko's teammate, is his shortstop for $3,300. And the outfield is exactly the same. It's Bruce for $4,000, Conforto for $3,900, and Chris Davis of the Oakland A's, because I don't want you to mess it up with the Oriole, even though he doesn't qualify as an outfielder, for $3,400. So here's this lineup. Pomerantz on the mound pitching, obviously. James McCann catching. Gurriel at first. Altuve at second. Jorko at third, Diaz at short, and then the outfield is Bruce Conforto and Chris Davis. Now, I pieced together a lineup. You know, again, like I was saying, I was afraid we weren't going to get one because we didn't get one yesterday. I decided I'm going with Jarrell Cotton of the A's tonight pitching for $7,500 against the Angels. I'm kind of hoping Trout isn't in the lineup tonight, so we'll see how that goes. My catcher is Buster Posey of the Giants for $3,500. At first base, I'm staying on the Ryan Zimmerman bandwagon for $4,500 of the Nationals. Second base is Cesar Hernandez of the Phillies for $3,500. Oddly, I ended up with Jed Jerko at third base for $3,200 as well, which basically guarantees the guy's getting an O for tonight. Anytime we pick the same player, he stinks. Hopefully Jerko can break that, but it really doesn't seem to happen. My shortstop is Zach Cozart of the Reds for $3,200. And then my outfield is Marcell Ozuna for $3,900. Avisail Garcia for $3,500. And in case you can't tell, I spent a lot of money. So my third outfielder is Chris Coughlin of the Blue Jays for $2,100. So my lineup is Cotton pitching, Posey catching, Zimmerman at first, Hernandez at second, Jerko at third, Cozart at short, and then my outfield is Alvisail Garcia of the White Sox there, Ozuna and Coughlin. So there you go. You got a lot of guys to pick from. Hopefully you get a winner. Now, you know, in a couple of the lineups, Chris Davis and James McCann are playing out west, so that they have not been released yet as if they're in the starting lineup because they're in Arizona and Oakland. Obviously, I have Cotton in my lineup, but I know he's the listed starting pitcher, so we should be okay there. But, yeah, otherwise, everybody else is in the starting lineup. These, of course, are for the 605 main entries on FanDuel. So, again, good luck. You know, sorry about the Blake Snell thing. I don't think he did terrible, but, you know, they were literally projecting the Royals to score two runs. So I took the shot and I went with the pitcher. I got to double check and see how he did here yesterday. Oops, wrong lineup. My late night lineup, Kendall Graveman scored 37 points. I did okay there. Geez, maybe I shouldn't be riding the A's pitcher again, huh? That could be trouble. So, well, hopefully it works out. Cotton needs to have a good outing. I'm hoping for lots of strikeouts because I know the Angels like to strike out. Well, actually, Blake Snell did stink. He ended up with just 9 points. So hopefully he has a little better. Hopefully I have a little better luck with what I got going on today. So good luck. As a whole, I think the lineup I gave you yesterday scored a whopping, 105 points. So probably not very good, but hopefully it's still – you know, you worked it out. Maybe you just used the best of my guys and you were able to save yourself and not have to, have to deal with any of that other, other stuff. So we'll have to see how it goes tonight, but, we'll just kind of hope we have a better night tonight. Yeah, it's just always such fun when you're dealing with that stuff. Hopefully there won't be any rainouts and, all the other interesting stuff we've got to go through with this. I know that killed Dan last night. It was either two Cubs and one Rocky or one Rocky and two Cubs in his lineup. And he didn't change it because while he was listening to the broadcast, the Cubs announcers, good old Len Casper and good old JD, Jim Deshays, said they were going to get the game in. So Dan didn't change the lineup. And then, of course, what happened? Yes, it got rained out. So just one of those wonderful, wonderful things you get to deal with. But we did have one game already. Since that game did get rained out, they made it up today. So if you were in your all-day FanDuel League, the Rockies got a big 10-4 win there. I don't know why my other line is beeping in here. Oh, okay, no big deal. freaking telemarketers don't know I'm doing the podcast. Yeah, the Rockies got a big 10-4 win in game one over the Cubs. The other game, obviously, we're going to play that a little later tonight to make it up. Currently, the Rangers are leading the Padres 9-0. That game, according to scoreboard here, it's in the bottom of the seventh inning. So let me hunt down the box score here, and hopefully you had the right players in today. But yeah, Colorado got a big 10-4 win over the Cubs today. I'm hoping you didn't go with Jake Arrieta because I know he stunk. All right, let's see what we got here. Kyle Schwarber went 1-for-4 for the Cubs. He scored a run, drove in a run. He also had a walk, and his hit was a double, so he picked up some points there. Wilson Contreras, who didn't get the start but did go 1-for-2 with an RBI, also hit a double. So Anthony Rizzo was 1-for-3 with a double. Anybody else we got going here? No, not really. That was kind of it offensively for the Cubs. Not a ton going on. You know, Addison Russell did score a run in a pinch hit appearance. He was 1-for-1. Alberto Almora Jr. scored a run. So yeah, nothing. He did. They each did get hits. Hopefully you were in on the Rockies side. Charlie Blackman went 1-for-4, scored 2 runs and walked, and his hit was a double. DJ LeMahieu was 2-for-5 with 2 runs scored and an RBI, and his hit was a double. My mistake, Blackman's hit was actually a triple. So, yeah, Blackman tripled, LeMahieu doubled. So you're racking up some points there if you use these guys in the early league. Nolan Arenado was 1-for-4 with an RBI. It was Mark Reynolds who had the big day, 3-for-4 with 3 runs scored and 3 RBIs. And one of his hits was a home run. Ian Desmond, returning from injury, was 2-for-4 with a run scored. And then Trevor Story was 2-for-3 with an RBI and a walk. Ryan Hannigan did only have one hit, was 1-for-4, but picked up 3 RBIs on it. I didn't see it, but it was apparently a pretty odd, like, bloop to center field that everybody just seemed to score on. Pitching-wise, yeah, flat out, Jake Arrieta stunk. All right, he went 3 2/3 innings, 9 hits, 9 runs. Not only 5 of them were earned, but even so, 5 runs in 3 2/3 innings is horrible. Walked 3, struck out 3. They went with, I'm drawing a blank on his first name. Why do I always do that? Let's see if I can get it here real quick. There we go. Dylan Florio, who was probably the extra call-up for the doubleheader. He took the bullet for the Cubs, went the final 4 1/3, 6 hits, only 1 run. It was earned. He did strike out 5, but he gave up the homer to Mark Reynolds. Now on the Rocky side, Senzatella is what I decided yesterday, I think. He went 6 innings to get the win. He improves to 5-1. He gave up 5 hits, 2 runs. They were both earned. He walked 3 and struck out 4. I believe that qualifies him for a quality start. Former Cub Chris Rushen came in. He pitched an inning, gave up a run, and walked 2 guys. Jake McGee came in, worked an inning, got a strikeout. And then Chad Qualls worked an inning, really kind of struggled, 3 hits and a run. But at that point, it didn't matter. By the way, Arrieta falls to 4-2 with the loss. So the teams get ready for game 2. The Cubs are now 16-16 on the year. Yeah, who'd have believed that the Cubs would be a 500 team at this point of the season, while the Rockies are 21-12. Yeah, so there you go. Let's jump in and take a look at this Ranger box score, because I notice now their run total is up to 11. So let's see what we got going here for the good old Rangers. Sinshu Chu is 1-for-2 with 2 runs scored and a walk, and his hit was a double. There you go. Elvis Andrews is 1-for-3 with a run scored and a walk. Looking here to see who all homered. Yeah, okay. Nomar Mazara is 1-for-4 with a run scored and 2 RBIs. Carlos Gomez is 0-for so far, 0-for-2 with a run scored, but he did walk twice. Rognar Ardour is 2-for-4 with 2 runs scored. Ryan Rua is 1-for-4 with a run scored and 3 RBIs, and his hit was a home run. Joey Gallo is 2-for-4 with 2 runs scored and 3 RBIs, and one of his hits was a home run. And then Robinson Chirinos is catching for the Rangers today. He's 1-for-3 with a run scored and 2 RBIs, and his hit was a home run. So, yeah, 3 bombs for the Rangers there. On the Padres side, while they haven't scored, Corey Spangenberg does have 2 hits. Will Myers picked up a hit, and it's refreshing for me because did anything happen? No, I guess not. And, Cordova at shortstop. Let me grab his first name for you here real quick. Well, I'm going to lie because it's not going to be really quick because my internet is just an embarrassment today for some reason. Alan Cordova is playing shortstop for the Padres today. Is 1-for-2. They only have 4 hits. For the Rangers, A.J. Griffin is the only guy who's pitched so far. He's gone 6 1/3. 4 hits, obviously no runs, a 1 walk and 2 strikeouts. Jared Weaver got the start for the Padres, really struggled. Ended up going 3 innings, 6 hits, 7 runs. They were all earned. Walked 2, struck out 4, did give up 2 home runs. Craig Stammen came in, worked 2 innings, gave up a hit of runs, walked 1 and struck out 1. And then Kevin Quackenbush pitched a couple innings. 2 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and also gave up a home run. So not the best of outings for the Padres there today. It looks like the Padres and the Cubs are just kind of struggling in the early games, but we'll see how it goes. Oddly, both the Rangers and the Padres had 13 wins coming into the game today. All right, well, let's take a look at the schedule tonight. Again, I'm telling you, man, this DirecTV internet, which is technically AT&T, sucks. I got the Washington Nationals at the Baltimore Orioles. Yeah, I got them like they're mine. How about the Washington Nationals are at the Baltimore Orioles? Max Scherzer gets the start for Washington. It's Ubaldo Jimenez for the Orioles. The Seattle Mariners are at the Philadelphia Phillies. Ariel Miranda makes the start for Seattle while it's Jared Eichhoff for the Phillies. The Cleveland Indians are at the Toronto Blue Jays. As you know from Mr. Fantasy's lineup, Carlos Carrasco gets the start for the Indians. Mike Bolsinger is making the start for the Blue Jays tonight. The New York Yankees are at the Cincinnati Reds. I believe this is a Fox Sports 1 game tonight. CC Sabathia making the start for the Yankees. And Tim Adelman is the starter for the Reds. The San Francisco Giants are at the New York Mets. Jeff Samardzija makes the start for San Francisco, while Zach Wheeler will go to the mound for the Mets. The St. Louis Cardinals are at the Miami Marlins. It's Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals and Dan Straley for the Marlins. The Kansas City Royals are at the Tampa Bay Rays. Chris Young is making the start for the Royals tonight, while it's Matt Andreese for Tampa Bay. The Boston Red Sox are at the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, from Mr. Fantasy's other lineup, Drew Pomerantz is making the start for the Red Sox tonight. He's taking on Willie Peralta for the Brewers. The Minnesota Twins are at the Chicago White Sox. Former Chicago White Sox Hector Santiago makes the start for Minnesota tonight. Mike Pelfrey is making the start for the White Sox. The Atlanta Braves are at the Houston Astros. Bartolo Colon is getting the start for the Braves tonight, and it's Charlie Morton for the Astros. In game 2 of the doubleheader, the Cubs are at the Rockies. John Lackey makes the start for Chicago, while Kyle Freeland is the Rockies starter. The Detroit Tigers are at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Justin Verlander is making the start for the Tigers. God, I almost said the Cubs. Jeez. The Tigers, of course, there. And then Robbie Ray gets the start for the Diamondbacks. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are at the Oakland A's. Alex Meyer is making the start for the Angels. And, of course, from my lineup, that Jarrell Cotton is making the start for the A's tonight. The Pittsburgh Pirates are at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Ivan Nova is making the start for the Pirates, while Julio Urias is getting the start for the Dodgers. So there you go. There's your schedule with your starters and all the other fun stuff going on with Major League Baseball. I wanted to see if we had any good records or anything tonight in any of the games. So John Lackey's got a 5.14 ERA. Not the best time to be pitching in Colorado, huh? So that could be ugly. Hector Santiago is 3-1 with a 2.78 ERA. If you're looking for, under the radar guys or however you want to call it there. I have Jeff Samardzija on one of my fantasy teams. He's 0-4 with a 5.30 ERA. Yeah, how about that? I know Matt Andreessen had a really good start. I think it was his last time out. He's 2-1 with a 3.09 ERA. Mr. Fantasy's going with Drew Pomeranz, 3-1 with a 4 ERA coming into the game. Oh, poor Bartolo's been struggling, 1-3 with a 6.27 ERA. Just kind of tough. I'm going with Cotton, like I mentioned, 3-3 with a 4.64 ERA. So I need a big night out of him. The big matchup is the very last game of the night. Ivan Nova is 3-3 with a 2.14 ERA. He's been really good for the Pirates. While at the Dodgers counter with Julio Urias, he has no record, but his ERA is 0.84. I know they're limiting his innings and they're watching kind of all that stuff, so it's difficult to get a fantastic read on him, but it's he's one of those guys, you just got to kind of see what's going on with him, and maybe he's gonna turn into that pitcher, that everybody always thought he was. I know he's still young and they don't want to throw him out there all the time because of the arm issues. I mean, I know we go through that all the time here. I just think there's got to be a better way for guys to be brought through the system and be ready to pitch when it's your turn to pitch. But I don't want to get on a tangent here. What I'd like to do is pull up some stats and just kind of look at the guys who are really off to good starts here in these first 25 or 30 games of the season here. Oddly, we start out with a couple Nationals teammates. I'm going to start with batting average. Ryan Zimmerman's hitting .420, and Bryce Harper is right behind him at .385. Justin Turner's at .376, while Buster Posey is .363. Starlin Castro off to a really good start at .358. Mike Trout's at .355. Zach Cozart's at .351. Then you got Freddie Freeman and Avisail Garcia at .349 on the year, and Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox rounds out the top 10 at .340. I know most people don't care about batting average, but I still enjoy it very much. So I like to, I always kind of like to look at the Triple Crown stats and that kind of fun stuff. Homer wise, it looks like we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. It looks like we have 12 guys in double digits here, so we'll just give those guys to you. Aaron Judge and Ryan Zimmerman are on top of the Homer board right now with 13 apiece. Eric Thames has 12. Freddie Freeman, Marcelo Zuna, Mark Reynolds, I wonder if this is updated, and Giancarlo Stanton all have 11. And then Chris Davis of the A's, Joey Gallo of the Rangers, Bryce Harper, and Joey Votto of the Reds all have 10. So a couple guys who hit some today, and I'm assuming it's probably updated, but if not, we know better, right? So of course we move into RBIs. Now we have Ryan Zimmerman with 34 leading the way. Bryce Harper, Marcelo Zuna, and Joey Votto all have driven in 29 runs. Nelson Cruz, Aaron Judge, Daniel Murphy, and Miguel Sano. Sano, by the way, suspended tonight. He's serving that one-game suspension. All have 28. And then a couple Rockies round us out here. Charlie Blackmon and Mark Reynolds each have 27. So there's the Triple Crown categories. Let's just kind of cruise through the other stuff here. Hits. Ryan Zimmerman is just, he's on top of all these categories. 47 hits. Starlin Castro has 44. Cesar Hernandez and Daniel Murphy have 43. Charlie Blackmon has 42. Will Myers and Justin Turner have 41. And Bryce Harper and Kevin Pillar have 40. So there's a little top 10 there. Let's look at runs scored. Who's scoring your runs? Bryce Harper has 36 to lead the way. Eric Thames has 31. Aaron Judge and Ryan Zimmerman have 28. Joey Votto has 27. Freddie Freeman and Cesar Hernandez have 26. Christian Yelich of the Marlins has 25. And then, believe it or not, Adam Eaton still hanging around with 24, even though he's done for the year. And Paul Goldschmidt has 24. Eaton scored 24 runs in 23 games. That's how well that Nationals offense is doing. All right, who's leading the way in doubles? It's Mitch Moreland of the Red Sox with 15. Ryan Zimmerman, again, has 12. A.J. Pollock, Carlos Santana, and Justin Turner each have 11. And then there's a whole flock of guys here at 10. Nolan Arenado, Chris Bryant, Nick Castellano, Corey Dickerson, Daniel Murphy, Will Myers, Kevin Pillar, Gregory Polanco, and Mike Trout all have 10 doubles. Triple should be a little easier. We got three guys with four. Charlie Blackman, Zach Cozart, and Billy Hamilton all have four. Nick Castellanos and Brad Miller have three. And that's as far as I'm going to go because there's a ton of guys with two. Yeah, so there you are. Stolen base-wise, Billy Hamilton leads the way. He's got 19. He's eight ahead of A.J. Pollock, who has 11. Then we've got Jose Altuve, Jared Dyson, and D. Gordon with 9. And then Lorenzo Cain, Paul Goldschmidt, Chris Owings, and Jose Peraza each have 8. Interestingly, can you tell me who's walked the most real quick? Guess. There you go. You got it. Bryce Harper leads the way with 27, but Brad Miller of the Rays is also tied with him at 27. Miller really drawing his walks this year. Matt Carpenter has 26. Paul Goldschmidt's at 25. Brandon Belt, even though he's struggling average-wise, has walked 24 times. Miguel Sano has 23 walks. And then Chris Bryant, Freddie Freeman, and Joey Votto all have 22 walks on the season. Strikeout-wise, not the category you want to be leading here, but Joey Gallo's leading the way with 50 strikeouts. I know he's got 10 bombs, and everybody's excited about that, but he's hitting a buck 94, and he struck out 50 times. Trevor Story also struggling, struck out 46 times. Jonathan Villar, after that great year last year, off to a tough start with 45 strikeouts. Chris Davis, no surprise to see him here at 44 strikeouts. Jose Bautista's whiffed 43 times. And then Jake Lamb, Mike Napoli, Miguel Sano, and Kyle Schwarber have all whiffed 42 times. So not the category you're looking for there, huh? On-base percentage, we'll give you the top five guys. Harper leads the way at 511. Freddie Freeman is next at 469. Ryan Zimmerman again at 459. Paul Goldschmidt at 451 and Justin Turner at 448. Slugging percentage, of course, it's Zimmerman. He's just been a beast. 875. Aaron Judge at 772. Freddie Freeman at 755. Bryce Harper at 750. And Eric Thames at 731. On base plus slugging or OPS sees Ryan Zimmerman again on top, 1.334. Bryce Harper at 1.261, Freddie Freeman at 1.224, Aaron Judge at 1.183, and Eric Thames again, 1.170. So yeah, you can see there are some guys just dominating the hitting stats. So it's just one of those starts to the year right now. We'll look at pitching. Now I know wins mean nothing, but it's just one of those things I like to do. I like to look at wins. It's just kind of fun. There are, five guys tied with five wins. Dylan Bundy of the Orioles, Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers, Dallas Keuchel of the Astros, Irvin Santana of the Twins, and Masahiro Tanaka of the Yankees all have five wins. There's quite a group at four win-wise. So, just one of those things. Over in the ERA department, Jason Vargas right now has a 1.19 ERA. James Paxton of the Mariners, who is on the DL currently, a 1.43 ERA. Irvin Santana with those five wins has a 1.72 ERA. Mike Leake off to a strong start, 1.79. Dallas Keuchel is 1.88. And then Chris Sale is the last guy under two. He is 1.92 in ERA. So there you go. You're looking for starters who are going to stay out there and give you innings. Well, Dallas Keuchel leads the way. In his seven starts, he's went 52 2/3 innings. All these guys have seven starts, by the way. Chris Sale has 51 2/3, so he's an inning behind Keuchel. Clayton Kershaw is 48 2/3. Irvin Santana has 47 innings on the nose. And then Dylan Bundy and Yu Darvish have each pitched 45 2/3 innings. Of course, I'm leading this to strikeouts. No surprise here, Chris Sale leading the way with 73 strikeouts. Jake DeGrom has 60. Clayton Kershaw has 53. Max Scherzer has 51. And Carlos Martinez and Lance McCullers each have 50. How about whip? Walk, hits, and innings pitched. Irvin Santana and Chris Sale, 0.79. Carlos Carrasco, Mr. Fantasy's guy tonight, 0.82. Dallas Keuchel, 0.85. And Ivan Nova, 0.88. Nova getting a start tonight as well. So who's the toughest pitcher to hit against? Believe it or not, it's Irvin Santana. The league is hitting just 135 against him. Chris Sale's next at 169. Dan Straley at 179, along with Dallas Keuchel at 179. Then you got Max Scherzer at 182, Ian Kennedy at 183, and Carlos Carrasco, again, the league is hitting just 184 against him. Sadly, you know, you always got the good stats with the bad stats. Gio Gonzalez, Blake Snell, and Edison Volquez have walked the most guys this year. They've each walked 22. Yu Darvish has 21, and then Francisco Liriano and Julio Teheran have each walked 20 guys. Of course, the other category you don't want to lead in, home runs given up. Mike Fiers of the Astros has given up 14. Jared Weaver of the Padres has given up 12. Ricky Nolasco has given up 11. Then we have a little group here. Stephen Wright, Matt Shoemaker, Tom Kohler, Tyler Chatwood, and Tyler Anderson have all given up 9. So there you go. Saves. Got to always want to know. Greg Holland is actually a perfect 13 for 13. In save opportunities, leading the way. He won't get one in that game one because, like I said, that was a blowout. Craig Kimbrell has 10 saves. He's 10 for 11 in his opportunities. Chad Allen has 9. For the Indians, he's 9 for 9. Brad Brock has 8. He's 8 for 9 for the Orioles. Alex Colome has 8 for the Rays. He's 8 for 10. Neftali Feliz and Ken Giles both have 8. They're both 8 for 9. And then rounding it out, Fernando Rodney has 8. He is 8 for 10 with the Diamondbacks. So there's just a little overview of some of the stats and the kind of stuff that, you know, goes on there. You know, I don't know if it helps you, but it's always kind of fun to look at for me, and I get a kick out of it still. You know, after all this time, I still enjoy, you know, looking at the stats and all the other fun stuff that goes with baseball, even though they've really tried to ruin it with the sabermetric stuff for me and try to tell me, you know, this doesn't mean anything now or that doesn't mean anything now. You know, I know, like they said, it doesn't matter if you win the batting title. You know, I still get a kick out of who wins the batting title. And, you know, I know they've mentioned how the win doesn't mean anything for pitchers anymore. And I don't know if that's because of the way pitchers are treated now or, you know, what stat they kind of brought out to decide the win doesn't mean anything. But, you know, I still think it's kind of important for a pitcher to, you know, keep his team in the game and, you know, have them score enough for him to to be out there. I mean, I get it now. You know, sometimes it's just a five-inning affair for a lot of these guys with the way they're treated. And, you know, I guess in the way with the way pitching has went, you know, maybe a win doesn't mean as much as it used to, because guys, you know, there aren't a lot of guys who are out there battling for their wins anymore. You know, they go their five, they go their six, and, you know, we turn it over to the, you know, all-important bullpen. You know, everybody's built their bullpen to, you know, ever since the Royals did it that one year, you know, we're going to run out the bullpen 6-7-8, and that's 6-7-8-9, that's it, and you're done. You know, so every team is trying to build their bullpen that way. And, yeah, I just, you know, again, I still pay a little bit of attention to that stuff. It is still a category in, you know, our fantasy league. We still use it. So you do have to win the win category every week. So as meaningless as it is to some people, it's still of somewhat importance to us. You know, I guess it just depends kind of how old you are or what your take is on, you know, the whole sabermetric kind of state of baseball, on, you know, what stats you're buying and what stats you're not buying. But, you know, like I said, I still get a kick out of it. You know, from listening to the podcast, how much I hate the war stat, because it's flexible and adjustable, and you can literally just kind of make it out to be whatever you want it to be. And that's always a bad deal. So, you know, we'll have to see. But we do have some other playoffs going on. You know, we can move over and take a look at that. We only have one game in the NBA tonight. As you know, the Warriors wrapped up their series against the Jazz last night. They swept that 4-0, just like the Cavs did over in the East. But we have one Western Conference and one Eastern Conference series going. It's the Western Conference tonight. We got the Houston Rockets at the San Antonio Spurs. This series is tied 2 games apiece. It's not a huge surprise that the Rockets are giving the Spurs some trouble. They're two very contradicting teams. You know, the Spurs are still a little more what you would describe on the old school side of things. You know, there are a lot of ball movement. They don't mind taking the mid-range jump shot, which has really been, you know, kind of ruled out of the game. So, you know, it's just one of those things for them, where the Rockets are, of course, you know, Mike D'Antoni, they're up and down the floor. They want to shoot the three as much as possible. And, you know, when they're making those threes, you're not going to beat this team. Nobody's going to beat this team. That includes the Cavaliers. That includes the Warriors. You know, any team you want to throw out there, you're not beating the Rockets when they're hitting their threes. You know, if there's any team that can defend it, it's the Spurs, because they seem to know how to kind of do this stuff and make the adjustment. I fully expected the Spurs to win this series. Now, you know, I'm not so sure. I mean, you know, it's best 2 of 3. And, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, if the Rockets come out and make their threes, they're going to win. So, you know, we'll see how it goes tonight. It's an early start here. Not really too early. 7 o'clock for me. It's a TNT game again. I'm trying to remember. I think they're still split up next for the conference finals too. It's just the finals that are only on the Mickey Mouse Network. Then we got to wait for tomorrow to get the Eastern Conference series. Washington is back in Boston. This series is back to 2-2. You know, early on, it looked like the Celtics were just going to kind of trounce through this series, but the Wizards figured it out. And, you know, they're back on track. We're even up here. It's, you know, it's an interesting, I know the Celtics kind of dominated the regular season, but I've been rooting for the Wizards. I think the Wizards are the team that gives the Cavaliers the most difficulty, because of the John Wall, Bradley Beal backcourt. You know, and I know you can say, okay, well, you know, the Cavaliers do have Kyrie, but that's only one answer there. You know, you got Kyrie against Wall and Beal. That's not really fair. You know, are you counting Kyle Korver as the off guard? You're going with an Iman Shumpert. You know, J.R. Smith maybe takes his shirt off. You know, I know you got Deron Williams on your bench, but, you know, I think he's 40. So, you know, I think that would give him problems. Do I fully expect the Cavaliers to win against whoever they play next? Oh, yeah. They may actually lose a game in the next series. That may be the shock because they're 8-0 right now and have just been dominating. But I was a little surprised the Pacers gave him such a hard time, but I didn't think the Raptors could match up. I was actually a little surprised the Raptors got by Milwaukee, you know, a young athletic team like that. But, you know, we'll see. But yeah, that's the Wednesday night matchup. So tonight we're looking at Houston at San Antonio. And then tomorrow we'll get Washington at Boston. And then it's just every other day here. We got San Antonio at Houston as they go back for Thursday, and then Boston at Washington on Friday. Will we need a game seven? Who knows? You know, if we do, they're going to have them Sunday and Monday. So I don't know why they're both not just playing them on Sunday to get these series over with. But again, it's stretched out for television. You know, again, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network paid a whole lot of money to get these series, and they are gonna stretch it out and get you to watch it as long as they humanly possibly can. So there, you know, there you go. That's just how it's gonna go, and we're gonna have to deal with it. But we do have a elimination game in the NHL tonight. We've got the Ottawa Senators at the New York Rangers. Now, the Senators do lead this series 3-2. It's a 6:30 start time here for me on the NBC Sports Network. So yeah, depending on where you are, you'll have to check your time. But yeah, they're going to get up and they're going to be dropping the puck here real soon. You know, this is another one of these odd series. You know, I thought New York had the last game won. But they called that goal off because of the high stick. And, you know, it ended up going where, Ottawa came back and got the big win. So we'll have to see if they can do it again and close out the series. Now, tomorrow, we're going to game seven in two series. I don't know how much of it you saw last night, but the Capitals really dominated the Penguins. They ended up winning 5-2 last night to force a game seven. Brandon Holpe only had to make 16 saves. So yeah, that's how well it went for the Capitals last night. The Penguins, one of the best offensive teams in the NHL, and some people's opinion, the best, only managed 16 shots on goal. So yeah, not the kind of night you were expecting. And yeah, a big bounce back for the Capitals. Now, you know, I know Sidney Crosby is out, and that does make a difference, but it's still a big bounce back. I mean, this team was down 3-1, and I think I heard or saw that 93% of the teams winning 3-1 win their series. Now, you know, there's no saying that, you know, Pittsburgh just won't come out and, you know, win tomorrow night and close out the series, but it's definitely more than what, you know, anybody was expecting, I think. You know, for a little while there, it looked like Pittsburgh was just going to kind of, you know, walk away with it, I guess would be the way to, you know, to look at it. And, you know, I know, you know, Washington was up 5-0 before Pittsburgh even scored. They got a couple late goals. And Crosby did play last night. I was under the impression he did not play. It looked like just about 20 minutes of ice time. He did have an assist. So, I was under the impression he didn't play. But, you know, Nicholas Backstrom scored for the Capitals. John Carlson got a goal. TJ Yoshi got a goal. And then I want to make sure I don't butcher. Well, I'm going to butcher the last name for sure. But I want to see if I can at least, you know. Andrei Burakovsky scored twice for the Capitals. So there you go. Figure that one out. I know it's just one of those fun, you get the hockey names, right? That's what you got to get. But where's Ovechkin here? Ovechkin had he played a little over 17 minutes. He had 3 shots on goal. He did make 3 hits, but he was a minus 1. I know they dropped him to the third line. He wasn't having the best of series. So you wonder, maybe he's got a big game 7 in him. So, it is quite possible he'll break out there. The Penguins goals, Jake Guentzel got a goal, and then Evgeny Malkin picked up the second goal. These were both late in the game when the outcome was pretty much decided. I mentioned Crosby did have an assist. He was a minus 1 as well, only had 1 shot on goal. So, you gotta wonder kind of if he's ready to go. How's he rolling? But we'll have to see. But yeah, I mentioned Braden Holtby had 18 shots on goal. He saved 16. Basically, it was the last 2 shots that went in, kind of is how it worked out. Marc-Andre Fleury faced 26 shots. Obviously, he only made 21 saves. Looking at the shot chart here, the Penguins only had 3 shots in the first period. They did outshoot the Capitals 6-5 in the second period, and then they managed 9 in the third period when it was all just kind of over. Washington was 2-for-4 on the power play, while Pittsburgh was 0-for-3. So, yeah, this is obviously, exciting game 7, but we do have another one. The second game tomorrow night has the, I want to get it right here. I believe the Ducks are at home, but I want to double check this. Yeah, it's the Edmonton Oilers at the Anaheim Ducks. Now, the Oilers are coming off a 7-1 drubbing of the Ducks. The Oilers put up 7 goals on them in game 6. So it's, the Ducks are going to have to shake that off. There's been a little bit of offense in this series. The only game, there was 3 goals in game 2. Otherwise, there were 8 in game 1, 9 in game 3, 7 in game 3, 4 and 5, and then 8 in game 6. So there has been quite a bit of scoring in this series. You just wonder if, somebody's going to, have a huge night, or how it's going to kind of work out. But, this is, a big deal, obviously, for the Oilers here, to get back in the playoffs and make a little noise. They got out of the first round. So we'll see if they can do it, in round 2. Now, of course, I don't want them to. As Anaheim was my preseason pick to win the Stanley Cup. So we'll have to see if that works out for me, or if how it works out for me. You just never kind of know. But, it'll probably rely a little bit on, Martin Jones and Cam Talbot in goal. And, whoever plays the best probably gets the win there. And they, of course, will move on to face the Nashville Predators, who closed out the Blues a couple nights ago in 6 games. So we'll see how it goes, but it could be a couple exciting game 7s. And I don't know how much hockey you're watching, but it's definitely been an interesting playoffs. Of course, that's kind of how it goes. The playoffs are always fun, so we'll see. But I know the we don't talk a lot of NFL. Dan's not a huge NFL fan, and we don't end up getting to it much. But I'm wondering, how some of the offensive rookies are going to impact fantasy football. And they've got a list here of the guys, and I just kind of wanted to look at them and, go over them and see what everybody kind of thought. It looks like they got one guy from each team here. And obviously I don't want the defensive guys, They start with the AFCF. They got the AFC East. They have Zay Jones, the wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He was the 37th pick. Now, they believe he has a chance to make an immediate impact at the position. Sammy Watkins, no surprise there, is recovering from an injury. It was a foot surgery. So he's probably going to be out until training camp. They believe this gives Jones time to work with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Got to tell you, I want nothing to do with a Buffalo wide receiver. That's just frightening. Now, the Bengals had two guys here. They took John Ross in the first round, and then they took Joe Mixon, the controversial running back out of Oklahoma. It's interesting here because, obviously, they have Giovanni Bernard and they have Jeremy Hill. So I'm wondering where Mixon's going to get the carries and the time from. But they're mentioning here that Mixon is likely going to get a heavy dose of playing time right away. And I'm wondering if they're talking in the preseason. But they also believe he could be used as a kick returner. They mentioned John Ross could make an immediate impact, but they think Mixon is poised to get the most playing time as a rookie. I'd love to know where they kind of came up with that. All right, the Steelers went out and they took Juju Smith-Schuster, the wide receiver. Now, they mentioned here how there are more plays available on offense. Now, Martavius Bryant comes back, but you wonder what kind of situation they're going to kind of look at him as. So it could be interesting. There could be a spot for this guy to really produce. There's a lot of guys there. You know, he's not knocking Antonio Brown off. And then you have Martavius Bryant, Smith-Schuster will compete. And why am I drawing a blank on the guy missed? Oh, Wheaton, right? Marcus Wheaton, was that him? The guy Mr. Fantasy loves so much. Will have to compete for those other catches. Then we move over to the Texans. Of course, they took Deshaun Watson, traded up to get Deshaun Watson. I know everybody keeps saying Tom Savage is the starting quarterback right now, blah, blah, blah. We're going to hear this. I just don't see the Texans going into game one with Tom Savage as their quarterback. I think Watson wins the job. I think they attempt to run the football a lot to make him comfortable. I would be, and then again, maybe they'll try to protect him. I mean, this team did win with defense last year. If J.J. Watt is healthy, they may try to do that again. But I would just be shocked, really, if Watson, maybe not shocked, but surprised if Watson isn't their starter. Over in Jacksonville, they took Leonard Fournette with the first round pick. Of course, they do have Blake Bortles, who I think is a better quarterback than people give him credit for. But, Fournette is that big power runner. They have him at 6 feet, 228. They say he'll have every opportunity to surpass 1,000 yards. This would be the big surprise if he did not surpass 1,000 yards, barring injury or anything, because he's going to be the guy. There's nobody else in Jacksonville. He will be it. Give him the football, let him go, get out of his way. Hopefully they can establish the running game and help Bortles out because they have some offensive weapons. So, I think he could be the biggest impact rookie, out there on the market. The Titans went with Corey Davis as the fifth player. People believed he was the best overall wide receiver in the draft. He wasn't the fastest, but he's a great route runner. And obviously he's a wide receiver. He has good hands. This is, Marcus Mariota needs a guy. He didn't really have a guy last year. I know Rashid Matthews had some good games and, they had drafted Tajay Sharp, but he didn't really work out. Davis really needs to step up and be that guy for Marcus Mariota. So you got to believe he's going to get every opportunity to do it. So we'll see. This is interesting here. For the Broncos, they went with Carlos Henderson. They're looking at him here. It's a could be team's number three receiver and kick returner. He's a powerful player with the ball. His game should translate quickly to the NFL. I got to tell you, I don't know much about Carlos Hernandez, so I'm going off of what this is Jeff Legwald, who wrote it, is going with them here. So if you're a Bronco fan, look out for Carlos Hernandez, or sorry, yeah, Carlos Henderson, sorry. And hopefully it works out. I don't know much about him at all. For the Chiefs, they went with the running back Kareem Hunt. You know, now, of course, Jamal Charles is gone. They do still have Spencer Ware, who will probably be the starter. And, I'm going to draw a blank on his backup. But, you know, look for Hunt to get the opportunity as, third round back. You know, he was a third round draft pick, obviously, but he could be the third down back. If he goes out and he shows something in this, training camp or the preseason, Ware isn't locked in. It could easily become a split type of situation there very, very quickly. So, no questions asked there. So, look for him. That could be a surprise. Now remember, I'm only doing offensive players. So there's a big jump here as I go all the way down to the Vikings. No surprise here. It's Dalvin Cook, the running back. We know Adrian Peterson's gone. They still have Jerick McKinnon, who's really more of a pass catcher. And Matt Asiata, who's really just a big monster. He's the big power back. This is Cook's job to win. Every opportunity is going to be there for him. No questions asked. He should walk in as the number one. As long as he performs, there'll be zero issues at all. With him being the starter, him getting the carries, everything else that goes on with being a number one will go to Dalvin Cook there. He can catch the ball. He really doesn't have to come off the field unless they want him to. So it will be interesting. He actually may be the guy in the best situation. I thought Fournette was, but looking at it, maybe Cook. So another guy in a good situation here is Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey, or however you want to pronounce it, was drafted by the Carolina Panthers. They also went out and picked up Curtis Samuel as going to be a slot wide receiver. Samuel played some running back in college as well. So don't be surprised if he's kind of one of those slash guys who gets some carries. This is interesting for the Panthers. It's kind of like they're trying to remake their offense from power to speed. And obviously now, McCaffrey's not a banger. He's not going to get huge inside yards, but Jonathan Stewart is still there. He can do some of that. The thing that's odd is Stewart is a very good pass catcher. And obviously I think that part of his game is almost going to be eliminated with McCaffrey here because you've got to get this guy the football in space. The same thing with Samuel. These are big play guys looking to make big plays. So they both should have the opportunity. It's just, can they work it out to where, they can adjust that offense? It's not really Ron Rivera's thing. So we'll have to see how that works out. All right, we go with Tampa Bay here. They went with O.J. Howard, the tight end in the first round. Here's some comparisons. Rob Gronkowski, Jason Witten, Antonio Gates, and Jimmy Graham. Yeah, that's not much to live up to at all. Good luck there, O.J. Howard. But actually, I think he'll be fine. Winston needs a goal line target. I think that's going to be a good fit. They mentioned Cooper Kupp for the Rams. Kupp is an interesting pick. Again, another guy with really good thing that stands out. So it'll be interesting to see how the breakout kind of works. Oh, look at that. I just kind of put it under the gun. All right. Well, in it through the hour, myself, not too bad. So come back tomorrow at 5:30. Hopefully Dan makes it home for his mother-in-law. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. I'm out there on Twitter, too, at BurkTime. As always, a big thanks for listening to me live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.